You know, it's pretty amazing what the Lord can do with about $3.5 worth of chemicals. That's what my body's worth. If you take out all the water, which is about 95 to 97%, except for all the nachos I ate earlier today, and you look at all the chemistry that's there, the dust that he mixed together and then he breathed into, I'm looking at a pretty awesome army. You know, Solomon said that his bride was like an army with banners. The church is an army with banners. His banner over you, Jehovah Nissi, is love. He's given us his spirit. And when he gave us his spirit, he gave us eternal life. And when he gave us his spirit, he gave us something called fruit. Squash, not. Squash is good. Love is better. Rutabagas, peace is much better. He gave us fruit. So if I really want to get to the place of fruit, I'd have to get to apples, I'd have to get to tomatoes, I'd have to get to strawberries, which are much better than vegetables. But he gave us fruit so that we could express him. And there was one of the fruit that he said was essential. We've already mentioned two of them. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace is a fruit, joy is a fruit. I really appreciated the message that Eric brought a couple of weeks ago when we were out of town. I don't know if he realized that joy and the joy of the Lord is one of the things that is going to be essential for each of us individually and all of us collectively to go through the doors that the Lord has for us this year. And so his message on the joy of the Lord was very timely to start off 2014. Tonight I want to talk what I think is going to be briefly, so you can throw your watches away because I don't know what that means. I have fewer pages of notes than I normally do, with Casey said, what does that mean? And I said, I have no idea. I want to talk about moving in the joy of the Lord. See, we've entered into the unexpected. The days in which we are living, we're going to see things that nobody expected. You can look at all of the 2000s, and there's things that have happened in the earth that no one would have expected. You're going to see nations rise up in the next 2 to 3 years that no one would have expected them to replace the United States of America as leading economic nations in the world. It's been prophesied for decades that that's going to happen. We are living in a time of the unexpected, and we need to expect the unexpected. You need to expect Holy Spirit to show up and show off through you in your daily routine. Jeff, that means when you're in school, you need to expect Holy Spirit to begin to prophesy through you. Mason, same thing. Katie, same thing. We need to expect the unexpected so that we're not startled by it, but the world is amazed by it, because he wants each of us to be a sign and a wonder. The presence of heaven's never been closer to earth than it is right now. And it's going to get closer. The Lord is displaying signs and wonders in the heavens. This year, we're going to have blood moons, full lunar eclipses, on the first day of Passover and the first day of Tabernacles. Next year, 2015, 5775 in the Hebraic calendar, we're going to have full blood moons, lunar moons, on the first day of Passover and the first day of Tabernacles. In between them, we're going to have full solar eclipses. You can go read Joel chapter 2. The moon will be turned to blood and the sun will lose its light before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is getting closer and closer and closer. Do we need to be afraid of that? No, we welcome that because we're his ambassadors. We're the ones that people are going to run to because his spirit is in us. You know, the last time that there was a full lunar eclipse on Passover and Tabernacles was the day of the year of the Six-Day War in Israel. You know the time before that? 1948, when Israel became a nation. Do you think the Lord's about to do something? In Genesis, he said, he's given us the heavens, the stars, the sun, and the moon as signs and wonders for times and seasons. He's up to something. Revelation is being released in greater measure, and the next generations are going to move in it in greater liberty than we've ever seen before. In Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, God tells us that he raised Christ up and seated us. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He's put us up there. That's where we are. I'm walking in the earth, but my home's up there. Yes, I can be two places at once. When I was a rock and roll DJ in the 70s, there was a comedy album, How Can You Be Two Places at Once When You're Not Anywhere at All? Some of you may remember that. Hopefully not. But he has seated us with him in heavenly places so we can see everything that we need to call into existence. Isn't that what Jesus did? He saw Father. When he saw Father do it, he knew he could. When he heard Father say it, he knew he could. That's how he wants us to be living. Every 14 in Scripture is tied to deliverance. Among other things, Genesis 14, it's where Abram goes out and rescues Lot from the kings that took over Sodom and Gomorrah. Deliverance. And then in chapter 15, he meets Melchizedek. As we move into this year, 2014, it will be a year of deliverances, personally and corporately. As we move into this year, it's a year to forgive. Next, we've got about 10 days left in this Hebrew month. Next Saturday, we'll be celebrating the month of Adar, the 13th Hebraic month, or the 12th Hebraic month. There's no leap month this year. For the rest of this month, get rid of the unforgiveness. Let the Lord deal with anything that you haven't forgiven and gain revelation of Father's love in place of those things that you haven't forgiven. This is a year that we're going to see both the door of opportunity and the door of invitation open to us. In Revelation, John saw an open door and he got an invitation, come up here. Be expecting the unexpected this year, that door of invitation is going to open up to you. Some people have asked me, what about all of the things from the iron years, 2010, 2011 Ayin Aleph 2012, Ayin Beit 2013, Ayin Gimel. All of the blessings of each year are cumulative. Don't think that because you didn't get it then, you can't grab a hold of it. That's not the way God works. Every blessing is available to us if we will pursue Him so that we can procure them. So don't forget the things that were the good things that He promised in the last 4 years, because we're still in that transitional time in His calendar moving forward. God is going to deal with and heal hope deferred this year. And you know how He's going to do it? Through hilarity. A joyful heart is medicine, right? Isn't that what the proverb says? He's going to heal hope deferred through joy. So I want to talk a little bit about joy. Now, the kingdom of God, Paul tells us in Romans, is not food and drink. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's righteousness, trying to live rightly in the word of the Lord. It's peace, walking with the Prince of Peace, and it's joy. How? In the Holy Spirit. So people who say they don't need the Holy Spirit, they don't know who God is, because Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of God in the earth today. Jesus was 2,000 years ago. He said, I'm sending you another. And He asked the Father to send Holy Spirit to you and me. And then He told Paul, tell them, here's my kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. So we have to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. And joy is the key to healing. I've seen bitter people never get healed, because every time the Lord touches them, they go back into their bitterness and they bring the issues back. Do you know that joy is like a force field around you? Demons bounce off of it. Ask people who have the ability to see in the spirit realm what is gathering around people who walk in joy. It's angels of light. I'd rather walk in joy and have an army of angels of light surround me than be bombarded. So let's look at moving in joy. I'm going to give you 16 things as quickly as I can. Number one, joy will break you out of prison. Joy will break you out of prison. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40, we have the story of Paul and the slave girl. They're walking through the land, and the slave girl keeps following after them, declaring the truth. And long story short, she had a spirit of Python on her. Paul turned around eventually and cast it out of her. Why? Because it was trying to identify with the apostolic, so that when the apostles moved on, remember the teachings about apostolic centers, he established them and then moved on. It would have said, didn't we tell you that the apostles had the message? Now listen to us. Isn't that how the enemy works? See, the Antichrist is in place of Christ. And he tried to put himself through that slave girl in place of God's government. So when Paul cast that regional spirit out, it bankrupted their economy. Because everyone made all of their money, all the silversmiths making little idols to the Queen of Heaven. Guess what? Paul ended up in jail. In verses 25 and 26 of Acts 16, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were saying, oh, woe is me. Here we are locked up in the dungeon. I guess this is the end. No, it says, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake. You know, God can pinpoint earthquakes on your behalf. So that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Talk about deliverance. Everyone's chains were unfastened because two believers decided to express the joy of the Lord and worship God. And the entire jail had their shackles removed. Number two, joy will bring salvation and strength. Joy will bring salvation and strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 are familiar with us. I'm going to read them in the New American Standard Version. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not expect the future to look like the past. Expect the unexpected this year, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You can choose joy, just like you can choose love. You can choose any of the fruit. It's my personal choice. When I was an athlete, to get up and work out. Or I could choose to veg out. I can choose to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, or I can choose to have them eke out. When you exercise, you will increase the use of the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, joy comes from suffering. Count it all joy. Joy comes from suffering. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." 8 times in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells of his afflictions, like we started with this evening, the most known of which is most likely his encouragement and how temporary they were. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, this is Ron Fess's testimony. And the men who were at the men's meeting Thursday night heard it once again from Ron's lips. "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In Psalm 126, verse 5, the psalmist tells us that those who sow in tears will reap with joy and singing. We used Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 in communion this evening. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. So, for the men spoke of stoning him because of the souls of them were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Joy comes from suffering. All of our heroes in the Bible suffered, but they walked in joy. Number four, joy is linked with strength, encouragement, confidence, quietness, and expectation. If you want to know a secret, Casey's favorite Bible verse is this one, Isaiah 30, verse 15. "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, In repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Joy is linked with strength, quietness, and expectation. Number five, joy begins to help you develop a self-fulfilling prophecy. Joy begins to help you develop a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you're moving in joy, you begin to speak things in line with the Word of God. Does the Word of God return to him void? No. Scripture says it returns fulfilling the very purpose for which Father sent it. When you begin to move in joy, you begin to speak things over yourself that make the way for his word to be activated in and through your life. Number six, joy comes out of faith, hope, and love. We all have probably been to a wedding where the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 is quoted, this is what love is. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Joy is the fruit that flows out of faith, hope, and love working together in your life. Do you have faith in God? Do you have hope that he will do what he promised you? Do you have his love? Then you can begin. See, we're all in this press called life. Out of some of us is going to come, out of some of us is going to come, oh, God, you're so good. That's what joy is, expressing the goodness of the Lord. Number seven. How many of you remember the outpouring of the Spirit in Toronto in the 90s? Do you remember the hilarity and the jocularity and the laughter and the holy laughter? I do. I mean, I've ministered to people and I've laid my hands on them and they just go over laughing. And it gets contagious. We were in a meeting, this is 2014, maybe 8 years ago with Dutch Sheets. How many of you know Dutch? Dutch is a fun guy, but he's pretty, when he's got a message, he's pretty there. And he said, and people are just falling and laughing, and he gets up to speak, and he just said, no, we don't have time for that. And the Holy Spirit fell on him, and he just spent the rest of the night laughing. When God wants to do something, who are we to say? You know, the times that he's had me laugh, it's healed deep, deep emotional wounds in me. I'm trying to remember who the speaker was. I can't remember who the speaker was. I think it was Matt Sorger. But he said he was speaking, and this guy in the congregation was heckling him. Questioning him, oh, God doesn't really do that stuff. God doesn't really do that stuff. I've had people literally come up to me when I was speaking aggressively. And I've seen them get to about that chair and just stop. I think Lou, Don Lippins, and a couple people, Rick, have seen that happen where they were ready to grab the people and all of a sudden they just stopped. It's happened to me here. It's happened to me elsewhere. Well, Matt is listening to this, and he hears himself say, sir, just come on up here. And he said, I haven't got a clue why I said that or what I was going to do when he got up there. And so he's coming right up the aisle, and he's about 12 feet away from him. He's up on the platform, and all of a sudden, the guy just falls on his face. and bounces. He said the Lord bounced him like a basketball for the whole rest of the message. Because this guy's saying Holy Spirit doesn't do stuff like that. Christians don't have the Holy Spirit move like that. Boom, 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 boom. For the whole rest of his message, the guy crawls up to the altar and says, I believe. So we can either agree with God or he'll help us. I say all of that to say, number 7, joy is linked with laughter, merriment, and glee. It's time to party. Jesus partied. Jesus had a good time. He never sinned. We need to realize Father wants us to enjoy the abundant life in earth. Number 8. It is difficult to offend a joyous person. It is difficult to offend a joyous person. It's real easy to offend a bitter person. But when someone is walking in joy, it's like duck off a water's back. Oh, you laughed. It's like the duck commander saying, okay, you don't like what I said? We'll just go hunting next season. You can have your TV show. When you are filled with joy, those things the enemy brings against you, your shield of faith and your breastplate of righteousness have quenched every one of the fiery darts. And so your response is either nothing at all or blessing them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Bless those who persecute you. It is difficult to offend a joyous person. Number 9. A joyful person is a thankful person. If you see someone who won't give thanks, you probably see someone who doesn't have the joy of the Lord. We're told in all things give thanks in 1 Thessalonians. In all things. We've already seen what happened when Paul and Silas gave thanks and sang, the joy of the Lord set every captive free. Number 10, joy will draw your supply. Meaning joy will attract your supply. I've just walked into the feed store. Yeah, what can I do for you today? Well, thanks. I think I'll go shop someplace else. When you express joy in the way you act, it draws people in, even those who want to do business with you or want to open up that door of invitation or opportunity to you this year. Joy will draw your supply. When Isaac redug the wells, he didn't get bitter, he got better. Each time he redug a well and they came and took it, he moved on. And when he finally got to the place of removing all of the stuff out of the old wells, the Lord gave him a better well. I wonder what would happen if he had gotten hard and bitter and decided to attack the servants of Abimelech that were claiming the wells after he redug them. Number 11. Joy comes from intimacy with the Lord. If you want something the Lord has, rub up next to him. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 6 in the Amplified says, I can feel his left hand under my head and his right hand embraces me. That's a picture of intimacy. If we want joy, we have to allow ourselves to get intimate with the Lord. That means taking time to let Him speak to us. It may mean that for some of us, we have to change our prayer life this year. Dear God, thanks for this day. Make me successful. I'll talk to you tomorrow. That's how most of us pray. We got this long list of things. But He's saying, come away with me. Come into my presence. Let me put my left hand under your head and my right arm around you. And let me rub some joy as a balm into those areas of your life. Joy comes from intimacy with the Lord. Number 12, joy will propel you past the enemies that confront you at the open door. How many of you, since we've entered into 5774, have had a few enemies confront you at the doors that have been opened to you? I have. I had one last Tuesday a week. It was called minus 40 wind chill. It was called negligence to put the fuel in the heater to keep the plane warm so that I could get out of here before they closed all the airports in the east. And so instead of being where I was going to be speaking at a conference, I get to be home. I chose to walk in joy in the midst of all of this. Man, you should have seen, probably no exaggeration, from here to the back wall was the line of people complaining to the one lady trying to rebook them all. Now, fortunately, I have enough mileage flying that I can get on my phone and call Premier Sales Line and find flights that she can't find. So while I'm doing that, I'm watching all of this take place. And I'm just thinking, I'm glad I got the joy of the Lord. I mean, I talked to the pilot. I was joking with him. I was joking with this guy who flew even more than me, who was doing all this stuff on his phone. And he missed 3 flights that day. He's a salesman, and guess what? If you don't make your meetings, you don't make a sale. Simple little instances in a day. We can either choose to walk in the joy of the Lord. You can ask Casey. 5 years ago, I would have been highly frustrated. I would have been bent out of shape. I just said, well, I guess I wasn't supposed to go. Now, I have a long trip coming up in February because that's been added on to another trip. But there was a joy and a peace in the midst of all of that brouhaha. And you know what happened as a result of it? The airline refunded all of my money. Not gave me a voucher to travel some other time, which is what they do. They refunded all of my money. See, when you will allow the joy of the Lord to be expressed through you, He can bring supply to you. There are enemies that are confronting us at the gate. In 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9, in the Amplified, Paul says, there's a wide door of opportunity for effectual service that is opened to me. And there is a great and promising one, and there are many adversaries in the door. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Let me tell you something this year. Quit looking at your enemies and look at the banqueting table that the Lord has set before you. See, if you're moving in the joy of the Lord, you're not going to be focusing on the joy robber. You're going to be focusing on the joy giver. In the doors of opportunity that are opening for us this year, there are going to be enemies that will try to steal your peace and kill your joy. Number 13, joy is produced in part by a heart motivated, worship. Joy is produced in part by heart-motivated worship. What is heart-motivated worship? It's not looking at the song words. There's nothing the matter with words. And singing a few songs on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning or a weeknight service. It's your heart releasing thanksgiving to God, whether you sing it or whether you speak it. Audible thanksgiving is worship unto the Lord. And that produces joy. How does he do that? Ask him. I don't know. But when he sees a heart that is taking delight in worshiping him, he releases joy, the fruit of the Spirit, in the worshiper. How many of you have ever said, in response to this question, how are you today? Well, okay, under the circumstances. Have you ever said that? Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? You're supposed to be seated up there with him in heavenly places, far above. Well, how are you doing today? Well, I'm doing pretty good considering. You know, several years ago, the Lord gave me an answer to that. How are you doing today? I am blessed. I worked with executives. They were my supervisors. And when they would come in and say, how are you doing? I'd say, I'm blessed. What are you going to say? No, you're not? Some of them would actually enter into the conversation. But I am blessed. Do you remember that old worship song? I am blessed. In the morning when I wake up, I am blessed. We have a choice of not being under the circumstances. We have a choice of believing that the scripture says that Jesus has called us up here to sit with him in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Number 14 is joy is not dependent upon your circumstances. It doesn't matter that the day we were taking Sam back down to Tennessee for Christmas, Sam's our oldest grandson. That was his first long trip away from mom and dad with none of the brothers and sisters around. We had a field day. It doesn't matter that when I looked downstairs, there was 4 inches of water in the basement. And that we got a 3-hour late start because I took 4 tons of water out of my basement. Yes, I'm a scientist. I know how many buckets I carried, 8.35 pounds to the gallon. I know just how far I took them up 10 flights of stairs because the pump didn't work. It was a Sunday morning. And guess what's not open on Sunday mornings? In the dark. Well, why didn't you go get a pump? Well, let's see, I could have waited around and gone down the next day. See, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The question is, are we going to allow the circumstance to be a joy robber? Your joy should direct your circumstances. Your joy should direct your circumstances. When you begin to worship the Lord because you have a joyful heart heals the bones. When you begin to worship the Lord, all of a sudden those circumstances don't look so bad. Now, did it continue to rain? Oh, yes, it rained the whole way down. Did it continue to melt all the snow? Oh, yes. Our basement was dry when we got home. Isn't God good? Casey and I rejoiced at that. Number 15. Joy results in leaping, dancing, and walking so that you can move forward and advance. Joy results in leaping, dancing, and walking so that you can move forward and advance. Acts chapter 3, verse 8, you know all the story about the man at the gate, beautiful. The literal interpretation of the Greek and the Hebrew is at the gate of the Lord's timing. He was in the right place at the right time when the right person that the Lord wanted to walk by him came. And when he got healed, the man who had never walked in his life, the scripture says that he leaped and danced and walked into the synagogue. I can't remember the year. It was sometime in the mid-1980s. I played a lot of soccer. In one game, I scored what I think was the most beautiful goal I ever scored. It was just beautiful. But I scored 4 goals against this team of real athletes. Casey and I started a co-ed soccer league in Tennessee, and you always had to have 2 women on the field. They didn't like that rule too much. They won every competition they were in except soccer because they hadn't played it, but they were athletic enough that they learned it very quickly. Casey was on the sideline when this happened, but I scored 4 goals in that game, and the next time we played that team, they put 2 people on me. And on this leg, one went high and one went low, and my leg went... It hurt. So you know how it happened. We're in these full gospel businesses meetings wanting this experience called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And not because she's not here, but she'll tell you. Casey is just like, well, God, if you really want us to have it, I guess that's what we want. And I'm there, oh, Lord, give it to me. Well, we go to this dinner meeting one night in a fancy hotel, and they got one of the banquet rooms all reserved. And we're sitting there eating, and I'm believing that the Lord's going to heal my leg that night. And the speaker was a woman that had died and went to heaven, and the Lord brought her back to life, and she's had this healing ministry. So I'm just believing the Lord's going to heal this leg. And Lou, this is why I can pray for legs. During dinner, I start getting excruciating pains in my chest, and I start sweating. I'm saying, oh no, what is this? And the lady that's going to speak gets up from her dinner and says, there's 2 people in here who are having excruciating chest pains right now. Come up here. So this one person that you would say was a poster child for a heart attack comes walking up. It's me. And I'm sweating, thinking, well, it's probably not me. And she said, there's another person, and Casey's looking at me. She knows now that when I fidget, she said, the Lord's telling you something, isn't he? But I'm just sort of sitting there like, is that you? And I said, you got chest pains? Said, yeah. So I go up. I don't know what happened. She just lays hands on us, and we're laying on the floor. All the pain in my chest went away. And she's doing something, and all this stuff is going on. I'm just lying there, and I heard myself say, Lord, what about my knees? I'm lying there just in this bright light, and all of a sudden I feel down both knees, both sides of both knees, and all I can remember is Casey sews, and it was like she was taking her knitting needles and sewing down the sides of both my knees. Now, that was after I had had surgery. And I chose not to have the ligament surgery. He said, I went in, I did the arthroscopic stuff, and I just took the snips and snipped the end of the ligament that was hanging loose so that it wouldn't get in my knee. I played soccer again. I played softball. I ran around with the kids. I did all these things. I come up here. Well, there's a Johnson & Johnson building now where there used to be a soccer field on Ridge Road, Ridgeway Avenue. I'm running down on a fast break, and all of a sudden my foot goes in a hole, and I keep going, and my right knee. So I go into the doctor, and he said, well, it looks like you've torn your cartilage. I had the surgery. Now, 10 years later, it's so advanced that they have this little camera that goes in, and it's like they took pictures that I'm looking out here like I had taken a picture, and I can see all the little capillaries in my cartilage. It's so clear. And he shows us the next picture with his forceps on something that looked like my finger, although it was blown up. And I said, what is that? And he said, that's your ligament. I said, the one that wasn't there? He said, See, the Lord will heal us when we allow him to touch us with his joy. He touched me with his joy. Yes, I did literally ask him, what about my knees? You know, the things you've been asking him, he hasn't forgotten about. During worship tonight, Pauline was, it either read the scripture or began to sing something, and it reminded me of the children in Israel in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And it says, and the Lord remembered the children of Israel. He's remembered everything he's promised you, and he's remembered everything that he's written about you in your book in heaven. He's not forgotten. Sometimes he just wants us to remind him that we remember what he said to us. See, I got up and I leaped and I danced and I walked forward into my future and into my destiny. Joy will cause us to do that. Or I can retreat back and say, No, I'm not going to do this. See, I shouldn't be doing the stuff we do with flags. I shouldn't be able to do the stuff that I do with my grandkids. When the Lord heals, we have the choice of believing that he's going to do it completely. By the way, I am still praying for a complete restorative miracle in our daughter's back. That means no metal rods and no metal pins. Every day when I pray for her, I remind the Lord that he has begun an excellent work in her and he will complete it. No metal rods, no metal pins. He's not a respecter of persons. I've been in conferences where I've seen him remove pins and rods out of necks and backs and wrists. And I think I may have told you I was in one time where a lady had, you could literally see the pin come a half inch out either side of her wrist, and it was completely gone. And she walked up to the speaker and said, where does he put them? And the speaker said, I really don't care. I'm believing that the Lord's going to cause her to leap and dance and walk forward into her destiny without hindrance. Number 15, that was 15. Number 16, joy is produced by the Word of God. Joy is produced by the Word of God. One of the scriptures that was quoted over us on February 4th of 1986, the night the Lord told us to stay in Rochester, was this one, Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Psalm 105:43, and he brought forth his people with sadness and mourning and lamentation and great grief. Not. He brought forth his people with joy, his chosen ones with a joyful shout. You know why heaven's so loud? Because there's a lot of joy there. Psalm 23. This is how we're going to end. What's following you? When you look behind you, is there a cookie monster? My Bible says that goodness and mercy, characteristics of the Most High God, are following after me all the days of my life. Now put your name in there. Goodness and mercy are following after you because you've chosen to walk in the joy of the Lord. He delights in putting his character and his presence on those who will walk in his spirit. Stand to our feet. You've heard me say this before. But the summation of 40 hours of spiritual warfare training goes like this. The enemy comes to steal your peace, because he knows that if he can keep you walking with no peace, you'll be in confusion and chaos. He comes to kill your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he comes to destroy your testimony, because you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And if you don't have a testimony, he knows that he doesn't have to be afraid of you. The joy of the Lord is going to be essential for us individually and corporately to move into what God has called us to this year and beyond. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. I heard it said long ago, turn at your enemy and laugh in his face. The scripture says that Father is laughing in derision over his enemies. If Father can do it, so can you. Your spiritual enemies have been defeated at the cross. And so when they try to open their mouth, turn around and begin to laugh in their face. Turn around again, worship God, walk forward, and let goodness and mercy follow after you. Lord, we thank you that you gave us joy to be our strength, that you gave us joy to be a fruit that would well up and overflow us so that those around us would hunger and thirst for your presence in their lives. Lord, I ask that you would make manifest in my brothers and sisters greater measures of the joy of your presence, not just tonight and this week, but every day of the rest of their lives on the earth. Lord, that there would be increasing measures of joy and great joy and joy unspeakable, Lord, as they fellowship intimately with you. Flood them with the joy from your throne room. And Lord, let there be an expectation that you will manifest the joy of the Lord through them, that even as they pray for others, joy will be imparted and healing will take place. Lord, let them be vessels of deliverance and great ministers of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. stay in fellowship and have a very blessed week.